Apostle Paul commissioned to the Ephesians right here. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them who are sanctified. I'm going to back that up real quick, because we look for somebody else to give us the inheritance. Right? We look for everybody else to build us up. But this is what Paul is saying. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all of them which are sanctified. To be sanctified is to be consecrated, separated unto God. That means that you individually made a decision to walk with God for your own self, for your own good. Not because mom and daddy said, amen. I'm going to serve God for me. He consecrates you. He gives you an inheritance and he builds you up. Amen. I'm going to keep reading. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Paul saying, I didn't get involved with this for prestige, for money, or any of that. I didn't get into it for clothing. I didn't get into it because I can get something out of it, tangible gain. Yea, yourselves know that these hands ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. So I work to get what I have, and not just for me to get what I want, but I also did it so that I can give to others. Woo, that's powerful. That's powerful right there. Because a lot of times we get stuck in working for ourselves, but we forget that there's somebody that God might want to use your resources to help. Amen? Amen. I'm going to keep going. Then he says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. All right? It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. That's the ebb and flow of ministry. There's times where you're going to have to give, but there's times where you're going to be on the receiving end as well.
That's right.
Right? So I always like to use that as my title, the ebb and flow of ministry. Father, in the name of Jesus, let your anointing fall. I believe it already has fallen, Lord. I believe that you're in the room. I feel your presence. I feel your spirit, Lord. I know that you are in our midst, Lord God. So I pray, Lord, that I'm able to convey what you desire to convey, Lord, out of your lips, not mine. I pray that I'm out of the way, that I'm removed, Lord, that you get your glory, Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. And everybody say once again, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When I first came into the church, I was excited to serve God. Amen. How many of you are still excited about serving Jesus? Right? Right? When I came to church, I was excited. Like, you know, I was on the fence for a little while, but when I for real got a hold of that thing, I was like, man, serving God is fun. You know? It's fun because he can say things to you through people and it comes to pass. That was fun to me. I don't know about y'all. When God says, yes, you're going to get this and you're going on a trip to Hawaii and you're not going to spend a dime on it. And if you spend money, God's going to give it back to you. And then a week later, somebody's giving you the money back because God said he was going to do it. And he told you he was going to go to Hawaii and he mysteriously puts a vacation on Don's desk when somebody's calling or asking what we need. And he sends us to Hawaii and we didn't even do nothing but pray and asking for. Serving God was fun, right? It's fun. Like, man, this is easy. All you gotta do is pray and ask him for something and he'll give it to you. You don't gotta work all day, every day until your fingers hurt, until you're tired and can't rest to get what you want. All you gotta do is pray and ask God. I mean, that's the greatest thing ever. Anyway, I'm gonna go back to my preaching, right? So, while I'm in church, though, I always wanted to do something for God. Amen. That was my personal desire. I wanted to do something for God. Not because everybody else was. It's because I had that much. I just felt like serving God was such a privilege that I wanted to do more than just do Marquise now. I wanted to do something for God, right? So I go to church and I see everybody moving around and everybody's aspiring to be the preacher and they want to get up in the pulpit and they want the glitz and the glamour of preaching and so on and so forth. And honestly, I really didn't want that. I still just wanted to do something for God, but it just so happened God said, I want you to preach the gospel, right? So for years, I'm in church. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what my calling is. I don't know what's going on. Only thing I know is that God wants me to do music, right? So I'm in church and I'm waiting. And let me back up before I keep going with this testimony. A few weeks ago, I preached about titles. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
How everybody's always waiting for a title, for God to give you a title before you go do some work, right? But when you look through the pages of scripture, Jesus never gave them a title. He gave them a job and assignments. He says, here, this is what I'm calling you to do. Are you going to do it? I'm not going to tell you this, or I'm not going to tell you that. I just want you to go do it for me. And will you do it? And are you willing to do it? But we get it mixed up where we think that we got to have a title first. I was talking to Sister Jay, and she says, it makes me sick when people say that I am this. I'm a pastor. I'm limiting God because I'm more than just a pastor. Amen. I'm a prophet. No, you're limiting God because you're saying all you want to do is stay in the realm of prophesying, but there's something else for you to do. It's because of the title. The title basically causes you to run into a brick wall, and you run and you stop running with the horsemen because you're too busy stopping with the footmen, because the footmen is who's telling you what you are. But when you run with the horsemen, you say, God, you can use me however you want to use me. I can be an evangelist, I can be a prophet, I can be the teacher, I can pastor, I can apostle, I can do whatever it is that you need me to do. I'm going to relegate my talents and everything and my abilities to you. So in church, I was waiting just like everybody else for the pastor to come and tell me, hey, this is what you are, all right? There's times where he tells me, yeah, you look like, you know, God wants to use you to preach. And I'm like, okay. And then there's times where he says, I don't feel the preaching anointing in you. And I'd be like, okay, right? Well, Lord, you called me to preach. He's telling me I'm not. Who's telling me the truth? Right? And God said, I told you the truth. I said, well, Lord, I need you to confirm. Because he don't see it. He's not telling me. See, my attention and my where I'm supposed to be is all the way wrong, right? So I said, you know what? I'm not going to pay attention to this anymore. I'm just going to start finding in the church where I can be of use.
Yes,
right? Now, what brought all of this up and into play, what even got me into this scripture, is yesterday I was talking to Sister Jay, and I was like, man, she was telling me something that somebody observed about our body that doesn't even come here, but they was able to observe it through how we do finances and so on and so forth, right? Now, at first I wasn't going to say nothing, and I was like, oh, man, that's something I could preach on. And so I thought, I was like, I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to preach on that, right? I'm not going to say nothing about it. Right? I'm not going to say anything. And so, this morning, like last night, I got in the shower. I've been taking these long, steamy showers so I can get my breathing right. You know, so I can, that's me. Right? So I'm praying, and as I'm asking God, I'm like, God, what do you want me to talk about? He didn't give me anything. He said, don't worry about it. I'm going to give you something. So this morning, I'm laying in the bed, and he says, it's better to give than to receive. And then he started reminding me of the conversation that Jay had. Someone on the outside, Jay uses an accountant. She looking through the finances, and when she started to look, Jay was always wondering why the Lord told her to back up and stop engaging and stop doing stuff. And people question why God would tell her to stop doing something, right? So here it is. This person comes in, looks, sees how everything's going, and says, you only take this amount of money. You only do this right here. There's people that's in ministry that make more money than y'all, and most of the money that you got coming in, you relegate to the church. And Jay's like, yeah. And she says, your church is spoiled. Mm. She saw it from the outside. Mm. And she says, who does this? Jay's name is by it. Who does this? Jay's name is by it. Who does this? Pastor Marquise. Who does this? Jay's name is by it. She says, the church is not carrying any of this weight. She says, the church is spoiled. She says, the church won't pour into you. You're always pouring into them. And I'm like, oh, God, really? Really? So the Lord lays the scripture on me, and then he starts reminding me of my testimony. So back to my testimony, right? I'm in church. I'm waiting on somebody to tell me what to do. And he's not telling me what to do. Why? Because it wasn't for him to tell me what to do. The Bible says that a man's gifting makes room for himself, and it brings him before great men. So I had to start figuring out where my gifting could be used in that moment and in that timing. It was for me to figure that out. So I went to God and I said, Lord, I need you to show me where I can be of usage and of value. And the Lord said, I need you to start setting up the sound system, right? So every day, like right now, we're privileged to have this, to come in here, turn on the computer, hook up a few things, hook up the camera, we can go. But every service, I had to take this snake right here that goes all the way around there, was wrapped up and it was coiled. Y'all remember that? I'll grab this snake and I'll walk into the front, and when I set it down, I'll go around the outskirts of the church and I'll go to the back and I set it up in the back. And then the Lord was like, okay, I just need you to do sound. So I'm doing sound with what we got and so on and so forth. And then as I'm doing the sound, what the Lord was starting to show me, you see, he told me I want you to do music. But see, I didn't know what I was doing, and I wasn't going to have the help from secular people. So what he told me to do was, I need you to just start working on the sound, and trust me. So I'm in the back, and I'm working on sound. And before you know it, the person that was doing the sound, he started falling off. Am I right, Sister Annette? He wasn't there all the time. Some of you remember. Sometimes he'd be there, sometimes he won't. But what I do is I started to be able to hear sound. The Lord started anointing my ear. So here I am, I'm mixing Annette and them's voices, and now I can hear everybody, and everybody's blending. And she might not remember this, but she comes to me and she says, what are you doing back there? Because whatever you do, it gotta sound good. I said, man, you just better thank Jesus, because I didn't know what I was doing. Right? So I'm doing all of the mixing and so on and so forth, bringing all the levels up, and oh man, it sounded good. And then when he come, he switch it all up, and then she come to the back and she said, what's going on with the sound? It sounds crappy. You remember that? And I said, basically, he came in and switched it all up, and I switched it all back, and now they sounded good. Well, guess what? In order for me to do music, I had to find my way in the church, and through the church and what I was doing in the church, it was teaching me how to do music. So I learned how to mix and master music by submitting to God and being available for his usage in the church.
Amen. Praise God.
So I said, okay. All right. I was letting somebody hear something last night. They said, who makes and mastered this? I said, I did. She says, no, you didn't. I said, yes, I did, in the basement. She says, you did this? I said, yeah. She says, wow. It sounds like industry stuff. See, all glory to God, because God built the servant up. God built me up. It didn't come from somebody else. It didn't come from somebody teaching me. It came from God himself. So I said, okay, Lord, I still want to be available, right? What else do you want me to do? So I said, he said, I want you to watch the altars. You see, everybody's waiting to have this meeting or whatever where some people are. I don't say everybody. Right? But there's some people, let's have a meeting so you can declare what I am. And no, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
It's not going to happen. Why? Because there's a whole body. I'm not going to have a private meeting to tell you what you can be to the body. Just be it to the body. You understand what I'm saying? Just be it to the body. If you have something to give, there's something to offer. Your gifting is going to make itself available. And once it's made available, God is going to perfect the gifting that's in you. That's how he moves. Because he wants the glory and the credit for it. So here we are. I said, Lord, what you want me to do? He said, I want you to sit and watch the altar. So I sat and I just watched the altars. I watched Danny Hood as he come by, and after he preached a powerful message, he starts walking by and people start getting the Holy Ghost. I said, okay, Lord, that's what you want me to do? So I just started watching him. You remember that? I was just watching. Oh, he did that right there. That's how he's coaching him, Drew. Oh, yeah. Okay. Cool. So when the altars opened up, I start going up there. Lord, you told me to do this. I'm laying hands on people. And now, guess what? When I was sitting in the back and I was discouraged, now I'm getting renewed in the spirit. Every time somebody is filled with the Holy Ghost, now I'm dancing and jumping for God, because now I'm laying hands on people and they're being filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm waiting on him to tell me who I am, and he's telling me everything that I'm not, but God is showing me everything that I am. Some laying hands on people. They get filled with the Holy Ghost. Now it's, Brother Marquise, come to the front and pray for them so they can get the Holy Ghost. Right? See, my gifting made room for itself. So here I am. I'm setting up sound. And it's sounding good. Even he's hearing his vocals sounding better when he's preaching. Right? So he says, brother, he says, I want you to come go with me to Colorado Springs to the pastor's meeting. And so I said, okay. So I got all the way up there. I set up the sound. And I made it sound good. And everything, right? So we sat there. Remember that, JD was in there. He was like, this is kind of weird. It's kind of different, right? But we're here, right? So that gifting brought me into the presence of the whole constituent of preachers in that organization, right? One of the preachers comes up to me. He says, stand up, Brother Jonathan. You was just standing there chilling. You just got through praying. A preacher and his wife, they talking to each other, and they looking at me like this. And I look at them, and I see them looking at me. I look at Jay, I was like, you see them looking at me? And she's like, yeah. So they looking at me. I'm like, you see them looking at me? And he's looking at me, and they talking. Talk to Stephanie right quick. Yeah. So they having a conversation. And then he says, come here, brother. Say, go ahead. Yeah. I said, yes, sir. I shook his hand. He said, he looked at me, he says, Brother, the Holy Ghost just told me that you called to preach the gospel.
Wow.
My pastor was telling me I wasn't. But see, my gifting to do sound took me into the presence of somebody else. And then he looked at me and he said, the Lord told me to tell you that he's anointed you to preach the gospel. As a matter of fact, I want you to come preach in my church right now. Next week, if you can, come immediately. And I was like, oh, shoot, dang. Jay, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to preach. I've never done it before. He didn't teach me. He didn't show me. So I went to him and said, hey, you know, I kind of had a little chip on my shoulder. I ain't going to lie. I was like, dude, you said I wasn't called a priest, but this dude said I am. Now, it's two preachers. This is your people. And they telling me I'm a preacher, and you saying I'm not. He says, you can't preach until I tell you you can. I said, oh. It's like that. Shut it all down. And you know what I did? I went into my prayer closet and I was praying. I think Brother Murray was with me too. And as we finished praying, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He says, see, I told you that I called you to preach this gospel. He says, you either believe my word or his word, but let me tell you something. Everything that I tell you that I'm going to do for you, the devil is going to fight you for it. He's not a respecter of persons. So that means that, when I tell you something, the devil is going to fight you for it. But you got to be willing to get through it and get past it in order to obtain your blessing. You got to be at a point in your life and in your walk where men's word don't count more than the word of God. And when you start moving that way, I'm going to open up the door and every opportunity for you to fulfill your promise. I said, you know what? I'll believe the report of the Lord. I'll go home. He gives me another word through my wife. He basically said what he said in the scripture. Don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. When God is trying to move and do something in your life, you got to learn to just be quiet with some things. So I shut up. You know, I say I'm completely opposite. You can tell me, because if you tell me God said you're going to do something, you're going to do it up in here.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, y'all think I'm kidding, right? God said, I'm going to be a pro. Well, you better start getting the lessons together then. I don't know what you're waiting on, right? You ain't got to wait on me because I don't give the giftings. I just submit to the one who gives the gift, the gift giver. I submit to him and say, I want to be on the same page with you for that. I'm not going to control your talent.
Yes, yes, yes.
It wasn't mine. I didn't give it to you. If God said you're a prophet, then the gift is going to make room for us to prophesy. If I got to clean it up too much, I'm going to come back to you and tell you, go clean it up. You messed him up. You told him something, you missed the mark, or you didn't give him the wisdom, you go back and fix it.
That's right.
God called you, right? You go back and give him the rest of it. Don't come to me to fix it. I don't got time to relegate it. God gave you the gift, and that's between you and him.
Amen.
So I'm in service. I'm at the front. And this minister comes in. His name is Brother Pantages. And Brother Pantages comes to the church. And this is it right here. This is it for me. I was like, yo, it's all going to pop in after this. Like, he spoke this, right? He don't know nothing about me. He comes in. He's from, where is he from? Peru? I don't know. He was from somewhere foreign, right? Not the United States, if I'm not mistaken. Brother Pantages, right? He comes up to me and he tells everybody to start clapping and making a bunch of noise so he can speak directly to you. And he looked me in my eye. He says, you know what? You've been sitting in church all these years trying to figure out what you called to do and what you're going to do. And you've been waiting. You've been waiting patiently. He said, but the Lord told me to tell you that you're like a jack of all trades. He says, the Lord told me to tell you that you have a pulpit ministry that he's going to give to you. And thousands of people are going to be affected by the ministry that he gives you. He says, all you got to do is keep walking and keep believing that God is going to use you the way that he was going to use you. The same night I went home and the Lord told me, don't tell the pastor, because he was filling in for the pastor. Don't say nothing to him. Just be quiet. Shh. So I go to sleep and I have a dream, and in the dream he's pacing around and he's asking everybody, what did the Lord say? Because everybody was excited and yada, 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 yada. And the Lord said, shh. I didn't say anything. So the next day we go to Sunday school. He's in the Sunday school classroom. And exactly what happened in my dream the following day, he's pacing around. Was somebody going to tell me what happened yesterday? And the Lord said, just be quiet, because I've already spoken. You don't need nobody else's approval. Amen. Shortly after, you already know what happened. Pure Apostolic was birthed about 2 or 3 years after that. right? So I'm saying all of this because there's an ebb and there's a flow to ministry. Everybody still with me, right? That word ebb and flow means a decline and an increase, but there's constant fluctuation. And Jesus did all of it. There was times where he knew where the decline, what we're talking about, God in flesh. There's times where he knew how to decline, but there was times where he knew when to increase. And everything in his life was always a fluctuation. I'm going to prove it in scripture, right? So this is where I'm going to teach now. So the birth of Jesus, we have the birth of Jesus. Amen. So you have the birth of Jesus. The man Christ Jesus needs fleshly parents. Everybody with me? He needed somebody to change that poop because it was stinking. Right? Needed somebody to change them diapers because it stinks. Oh, it's pretty funky, right? You know how babies, when that pamper gets the swagging, because you look at it and you let them run around and it's... Shame on you. You know you should have got that a long time ago. Before that thing got so heavy and it started sagging and everything, you should have got that a long time ago, right? Come here, boy. Let me get this off you, right? You got three boys, so I know you'd be like, come here, man. Because they'd be like, ah! But anyway, you got to clean their mess up, right? And so this is the beautiful thing about serving God, is that God is not going to require you to do anything that he hasn't done already. Right? So he creates a body so that he can be on earth. He has fleshly parents, and here he is. He has parents that's taking care of all this filthy poop. So then as I'm going through it all, I'm looking at the correlation between what Jesus is doing and the church. You see, when you first come into church, you are a spiritual babe. That's why the Lord told Paul, when Paul was persecuting the church in the world on the road to Damascus, he says, you need to forget everything that you've learned up until this point and go be with Ananias and he'll teach you what you need to do. He had to unlearn everything and become as a child all over again. Amen. See, some people, when they come into the church, that's why they have spiritual parents. Why? Because the spiritual parents are there to tell you that your poop stinks. That diaper been on you too long. It's all over the place. You funky. You got sin in your camp. And see, this is why we lose a lot of people, because when you start telling them, listen, you're worried about what everybody else is doing, but you got poop in your own life, and we need to change that diaper because it's messy. It's time to grow, right? So they come in just like Jesus. He had fleshly parents, right? Then he begins to grow. Amen. He begins to grow up. So by the time Jesus is 12, he's sitting in the midst of doctors and teachers listening to them, and he's teaching them, astounding him with his knowledge. Right?
Right.
This is where it gets good right here, because I know we read these scriptures and sometimes we go past it, but this is where it gets real sweet. Right? So Jesus is teaching in the temple. He's about business now at 12 years old. Oh, Jonathan told me something. I have to agree with him now because the scriptures say, you know, sometimes we giving it to them too young. No, we need to give it to them. You know, what they do with it is on them, but we just need to give it to them. And if the call and drive them out of the church, oh, well, you gave it to them, right? But Jesus is 12, and he's in the synagogue, right? So this is where it gets interesting. See, here he is. He has the fleshly relationship and the fleshly obligation to his parents. So his parents comes up to him and they say, Jesus, why did you do us like this? Why did you disobey your father and your mother? Right? But this is Jesus' response. You got to catch this, right? Jesus said, well, then you should know that it's important for me to be in the house of my father. Ah, see, it just went through one ear and out the other. Let me tell you why. Because what Jesus was saying is, listen, like the scripture says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away the childish ways. See, I was dependent upon my fleshly parents just to get me to this point. But now it's time to turn me over to my ultimate father, who is Jesus Christ. And he's going to take it from there. Now that I gotta be in the presence of my father, Your obligation and your leadership is done now that I have an understanding, and now it's time for me to be in the temple and go to work for my daddy. You see, JCL got up and testified. The reason why I tell him to go to Jesus is because my leadership is done. Son, I'm taking you as far as I can take you. You need to go to Jesus because that's your ultimate bond. I've done everything that I'm supposed to do. There's no weight, no pressure on me. There's nothing else that I can do. I taught you to go to Jesus, and now it's important and imperative for you to be in your Father's house. Woo! See, kids that can't get past what their parents did is because you're forgetting that once he took you to Jesus, he's already done what he's supposed to do. He don't owe you anything else. He's taking you there. And Jesus said, and when Paul in his word, in his statement, he says, now I commission you to Jesus. Now I turn you over to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Now I turn you over to Jesus, because he's going to build you up. I turn you over to Jesus, because he's going to strengthen you. I turned you over to Jesus, and that's all you mean. Brother, when you said that the other day, I felt pricked in the spirit. You've done everything that you can do. All you got to do is just keep following God for yourself. But it's imperative that they stay in the house of their Father. He's going to do it. I said, brother, you shouldn't be carrying that weight. Yes, it's gone. Because yes, their ultimate Father is where they need to be. When they take it to God, God's going to give them everything that they need. All you got to do is come alongside them, and everything that he speaks to them, when you register or it registers with you, because the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, that's all you have to do. You've taken them to Jesus. I'm done parenting like that. You say, I look at Markel. People say, Markel, this and this and this and this and that. The only thing that's different about Markel and anybody else's kid is that me and Jay took her to Jesus. And when we took her to Jesus, we said, now, God, you got to take it from here. And now she has her own walk with God. Now God can use her to bless like Jesus was in the temple at a young age. She can speak into other people's lives. Why? Because she understood that here, my parents brought me here. And now my mama said, Markel, you're going to have to learn how to trust Jesus for yourself. That's 12. So now he's baptized by 30 years old. Part of salvation. He's baptized. 40 days he goes on a fast. Now see, this is where it gets real interesting, right? So he goes on a fast for 40 days, which is part of salvation. He gets baptized, and then, because he's showing us that's what salvation is going to be, because he's walking us through everything, right? You're going to be a babe in Christ. You're going to put away your childish things. You're going to become an adult and a man, and your dependency is going to be on God. And when you start depending on God, that's why we dedicate kids, because we say we're going to teach them how to be in the house of God. That's all that is.
Right.
We're teaching them God is first over everything.
That's right.
Not sports, not money, not anything. We're teaching them that everything, that God is first. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You should love the Lord with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength. That's what I'm promising to teach them.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So when I get them here, then the one that they love with all their heart, with all their might, with all their strength is going to be the one that's going to love them with all his heart, with all his might, with all his strength, and he's going to lead them. When you have no answer, he has it. When you can't do it, he can do it. When you reach your capacity, his capacity is unlimited. He can keep moving. That's how it works. So, Jesus is in a position from going from receiving to giving, and now he's in a position where he's about to establish the framework of the church, right? Where he's about to become the ultimate giver. And guess what his enemy attacks him with? Huh? Come on, Bible scholars. Because people tell you in a heartbeat what you can't preach, and how you ain't got this, what are they attacking with? Huh? Jesus was in a position to become the ultimate giver, and the devil turned around and attacked him with the same thing that he was about to give. Here, if you bow down and serve me, I'll give you everything. See, that's the same thing that happens with a saint. See, the moment you've been turned over to God, you have the opportunity to submit. The devil creeps in and comes into your life, and he begins to attack you with the things that he can give you. I can give you companionship because you're lonely. I can give you a relationship because you're by yourself. I can give you money and bless you with the job that you want to take you out. I can give you all of the desires of your heart. All you got to do is denounce your calling. All you got to do is denounce your dependency on God, and I'll give you whatever you want. I don't have time to serve God. I want to live my life. I want to do this. I want to do that. The devil just gave you the freedom here.
That's right. Oh, she bad too.
Oh, this is a great job. Till 2 years you hate it.
Right.
So, Jesus tells his family, when they came looking for him on the cross, they said, Jesus, your brother and your mother are looking for you. He says, behold, my mother and my father. Those that do the will of my father.
Right.
See, this is more important than that.
That's
right. See, he was putting your fleshly relationship, your fleshly family in their place. Some of us have a hard time with doing that. I don't. Like, here, I'm cool. Like, hey, Jesus said do this. If you ain't on this team, y'all got to do what you got to do. I'll sit with my people. That's probably why I couldn't breathe, because I went over there because my family, one of my uncles died. I was sitting over there. They were smoking weed and they getting high. And they passing it too. Here, you want to hit this, Pastor? Nah, how you going to even do it and come here, Pastor? Right? Couldn't breathe. I'm just now getting on the mend. Right? But I sat there and I held my own. Why you look so young? Because I ain't doing what you jokers is doing.
Right, that part.
Why you look so peaceful? Because I don't do all that right there. I got a piece that you need to come get up on. You need to come get some of this.
Amen.
I'm outside talking to them. You know, they're like, yeah, trip over everything, you know. I'm like, yeah. I said, it can't be. You can be hood as you want. But it's a whole different war when you start praying the devils up out of them.
Amen.
See, I said, that's a whole nother ballgame when you start seeing demons come out of people like yourself.
Right.
And they start talking to you, and you see what really was influencing you, and you just didn't know it.
That's right.
Shut up.
Yes. Come on and bless God. Come on.
Marquise ain't there tripping. Can you go shut it down?
I'm on there. Stop.
Yeah, that's right.
Stop. Just chill.
Amen.
Okay. Yeah, just sit down and relax. This ain't the time for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I can move. I can navigate through all of that, but I don't have to submit to it. I don't have to do it.
Yeah.
I can still be godly and go around the center because God is going out there.
Yeah.
So, he starts to build his framework after the baptism and the evidence of the dove, the spirit indwelling, right? That's the equipping. So he says the framework and then he equips. All right. So let's go to the framework now. So Jesus, he goes 40 days, 40 nights, and he says, I need to recruit me some people. Right. So he goes to the 12 disciples. He goes and recruits. So the first, I'm going to just break it down like this. Okay. He goes against Andrew. Yeah, hey, well, you came the right day, bro. All right? He goes and gets Andrew, Peter, James, John, sons of Zebedee, right? They're fishermen by trade. They're fishermen. Now, see, the Bible says that a man that wins souls is wise, right? So if you win souls, you're wise. Why? Because as a fisherman, fishermen understand that there's different bait to catch certain fish.
Yes.
Right? If I'm fishing for crappie, I gotta use a minnow. We caught a lot of them too, didn't we? If we want to catch carp, and Jonathan takes a picture cheesing, we use red worms. They got a little funk to them where you can use anything off the ground that's dead or whatever, you can catch catfish with. Or carp to a certain extent. They'll eat that. Right? If I want to go marine, you know, they got value and different types of fish, but you go and catch this stuff in the shallows and then you go to the deeper waters and you can catch mahi. Right? But if you want a bigger fish, you know, you do what's called chummy. You cut up a bunch. You cut up a bunch of fish that's full of blood, and you throw it in the water, and it'll attract the sharks. And then they got a way to catch the shark. But there's wisdom when it comes to catching fish. Jesus had to get some people that was wise when it came to presenting the gospel.
Amen.
He understood that they're the ones that's listening to see what they need, because in order for you to catch a fish, you got to see what they're biting. Woo! You're not going to catch a fish if they're not biting what you're presenting them. So you have to switch up your game. So I do a lot of walleye fishing, right? There's times in the year where I could take a bottom bouncer and a night crawler and I'll catch walleye all day. But then there's a time of the year where I got to switch up and present them something that's fake and artificial in order to get them bite, depending on how cold it is, the season, the temperature of the water, the elevation of the water. All of that plays into catching fish. He that wins souls is wise, because they're able to take their giftings and use it on behalf of the church, and they're able to say, okay, Lord, I heard this person say that their mom is dying, or they're weak, or they got something going on. And instead of just going on about their very day, you got somebody like Don or Stephanie or Risa that'll say, let's go on this corner and pray right now, because I got faith and believe that God is going to do it. Or you got somebody that's in a KGB is where, and you're talking to them, and they're like, man, you show is getting sharpened. And I start telling them a pastor or what you're preaching, and they get a Bible study.
That's right, that's right.
Because you're giving them what they're asking for. So he gets them some soul winners, right? He gets them some Dons. He gets them some Jalen, some Marquises, some Stephanie, some Reese, some Erics, and people that ain't afraid to talk. Then the next thing he goes, he gets Matthew, also known as Levi, who's a tax collector. He gets somebody that can manage the money. I can manage money, but I don't touch it. I'll spend it too. I'm not gonna lie. I will. But I spend it according to what she say, because I know she's going to be more disciplined with it. She's going to say, hold up. That's one too many guns, Andrew. Me and Drew be on the same page. Look at this one right here. Oh, that's sexy. What is that? We like little kids showing our toys through the text message. Look at this. I'll be like, oh. I'll send one to John. John, look at this. John, like, oh, that's sweet. I'm about to get it. Right? You know, this is a cheap, expensive hobby, right? It ain't cheap. We need to get some new hobbies, right? That's what they be saying, but we good. JCL, Dan, look what I just got. Yeah, it is pretty sweet, son. Yeah, okay. So, but he gets somebody who manages money well, right? You get to Sister Ness, Jace, they all handle money well. Sister Rochelle, she's not in this church, but she handles money, right? Then he goes to Simon. Now, this is interesting right here. He goes to Simon, but Simon was known as a zealot. But it wasn't a profession for zealots to be, basically, to be a zealot wasn't a profession. Amen? But zealots engaged in politics, and also Simon attempted to overthrow the Roman Empire, the Roman government. Even though he didn't succeed, he tried. Wow. Right? That's your Jonathan. It's in the Bible. Jesus needs Jonathan.
Yeah, that's right.
That's your Josiah. That's your Andrews. That's your Jalen. Because they'll overthrow. Because what comes with politics is rules. She stood up in the front. Hey, ain't no more TikToks up in here. You're messing up the Spirit of God. We want the Spirit of God in here. Take it outside, right? Amen. That's politics. That's religion. I mean, that's rules. That's stuff to govern the church by. Jesus is putting it all in place. I need some zealots.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Philip, the Bible doesn't list his trade, but according to his name, the Bible says that he's fond of horses. He was fond of horses. Jeremiah says, if you're tired of running with the footmen, how are you going to run with the horsemen? He needs to know, and he needs to basically know, or have some people that's ready to run when he tells them to go. They ain't asking no questions, they just go. Jay was running so fast, the Lord told her in the dream, you need to slow down because you're leaving everybody behind. Can you imagine that? Somebody just take off. I believe you had a dream like that too, where you took off and you had to go back to get the family. I remember that. Right? Running with the horsemen. Somebody that's going to go. That's why when they look at cars, they got muscle in it. They say, look at the horsepower, right? Just imagine the saints with the horsepower. Yeah. They got strength to carry weight. They got strength to run with the weight that's on their back. And they're going to go wherever God tells them to go. Because well, something about the horseman. The Bible says that when you put a bit in the horse's mouth, you can steer him and tell him wherever the bit went, wherever you want it to go. That's how you lead the horse. And see, that's what happens when you're a horse, when you ride with the horseman. Jesus is the one that's controlling the bit that's in your mouth. So you know where it's time to go here or go there. But some of us are still stuck in the infant stages and not growing. We're still stuck in the church. And we're not dealing with the ebbs and flows. We're not decreasing and inclining. We're staying in a place where we're idleness. Some of you are in positions to still think like you did when you first came into the church, and it's a problem.
Wow. That's
right. You should be moved on to something else. Jesus was a baby. He knew, okay, it's time for me to decline from the milk from my parents. It's time for me to incline. It's time for me to start giving out now. And Jesus never looked back. He still stayed the ultimate giver. Because he's still giving his time, his resources, his assets. He's still giving you what you need. He's still providing for you each and every day. Amen? So then he goes here. He goes to Thomas. So Thomas and Bartholomew, the Bible doesn't list their trades, but we know that they were called to be church planters because that's what apostles do. They go and plant churches. Some of the most quiet and reserved people, they plant the churches. I'm almost done, guys. Right? Now, James means grace-sized, which means Greek from a style or because Jesus was on a mission to recruit Gentiles. So I need somebody that's able to move with a heathen nation that I once rejected because now I've accepted them. So you'll be able to move and to blend in and be able to recruit them because I have work for them to do too.
Wow.
This is all of what he's doing before he ever puts his spirit upon flesh. He's setting the framework.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Then there's Judas. I said, well, Lord, you was doing all that. Now you got a Judas. Now everybody in here be like,
double cross me, deuce.
Turn your back on a person in a heartbeat. I'm cool on them. Oh, such and such is a sinner. Such and such is this. Such and such is that. Jesus brought Judas for a reason, right? So the reason why Jesus brought Judas is to teach the church to maximize grace.
That's right.
See, grace is forgiveness. Grace is still moving. Even though they're imperfect, grace still says, I'm going to pray that you are perfected. Grace says, I'm still going to move with you. I'm still going to love you even though you don't have it right. He taught them how to perfect grace. You see, without Judas in the church, then everybody's going to hell because it'll be a self-righteous body. See, you walk around like you got it all together, but guess what? I'm going to judge your sin too because there's still something in you that you just don't know because you're too busy looking at everything else. So therefore, I'm going to give you Judas who's out there with it. Yeah. And Jesus still looked at him and said, that's my friend.
Right.
Because that's grace perfected.
Yeah.
You about to deliver me to lose my life, but I'm still going to refer to you as my friend. Why do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss, friend? I know you about to double cross me, but I still love you.
Amen.
I know you don't like me. I still love you. I know you don't agree with me. I still love you. You see, you need Judas in the body. Amen. You need Judas to be there. Because without Judas, your game ain't going to be as tight as you think it should be. Then he goes to the crucifixion, right? He rises again, and after he rises again, he walks with the children of Israel for 40 days, 40 nights, and there's 10 days that they waited, which is the day of Pentecost when the church was birthed. He gave birth to the church, amen. So when he gave, here, let me put it like this. You see, we have baby showers, right? Mm-hmm. Y'all have these babies, and y'all start waddling, and we had a baby shower. Everybody come together, oh, this is so cute and it's pretty. And gender reveals and stuff like that. But there's things and necessities that you put in place before that baby is born. You get that crib, you get the bottle warmer right, or you get the breast pump if you're going to pump like that. You get all of these things in place, right? And so when you put all this stuff in place, it's the foundation. So when the baby is born, you can take the baby home, and when it's time to put the baby in the bed, it has its own bed, unless you let them sleep in the bed with you, big mistake. But you put them in a bassinet, or you put them right, so they learn to sleep on their own. That's the foundation. You see, Jesus, when he gave birth to the church, the foundation was already laid. So he gave them the foundational structure. I got my soul winners. I got those that can go to heathen nations and win people. I got those that ain't afraid to church plant and go to work. I got all of these different people that's in position. I got the ones that's ready to run when I tell them to go. And they ready to pick it up. And they ready to take off when I say go. I got it already in place. And now I'm going to equip them with the power to institute a fivefold ministry so that they can have revival. Stand with me. So Jesus said, I've ascended. I'm done. I've came. I created a body, walked with y'all. I'm the branch and the root of David. God robed himself in flesh and walked amongst you, and God's name is Jesus. He says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to put my spirit in you, and that's it. I'm not no triune committee. I'm not schizophrenic. Right? I'm one God, and I live inside of you today. And Jesus said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall show you all things to come. It was a parable, but to simplify it, he says, I'm going to come and live inside of you.
That's right.
Jesus. So you get that new name in the Bible. When he put his spirit inside of you, you've been engrafted into the family. The name of God is in you. That's how you get a new name in the New Testament, because you now have the name of God. So my name is Marquise Dion Wissington Jesus. But guess what? I had to go through the same ebbs and flows that Jesus had to go through. I had to start all over. I was Baptist before, but I had to start all over and unlearn everything that I knew before so that I can learn something new. And when I started learning something new, then I put away the childish ways, and I had to start becoming the giver. And after becoming the giver, then I had to go through the water. And after I had to go through the water, I was filled with the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues. I came up a new creature, and God equipped me to be able to go forward and do what I need to do.
Amen. That's right? That's
it's the same thing with the Apostle Paul in my closing. Paul's on the road to Damascus to persecute the church prior to ever getting to Acts chapter 20 in my scriptural reference. What did he say? He said that while he was on the road to Damascus, a bright light shone from the sky, and when he looked at it, it blinded him. And Paul said, who art thou, Lord? And the spirit that was looking at him said, my name is Jesus. Why are you coming against my church, Paul? Now, Paul is a studied and learned man. He's a Pharisee. He's basically educated on the Bible. He understands the Pentateuch, the Torah. He knows the prophets, the major and the minor. He knows them all by heart, because it was in the Jewish custom to know the word of God by the age of 12 years old. That's why Jesus was in the temple teaching at 12 years old, because it was a part of the custom for them to know the word and to hide the word in their heart. And he couldn't go against his own word.
That's right.
So he knew everything already that he needed to do. And so the same thing that he had to go through, he sent Paul through. You're going to have to unlearn some things, buddy. You can't keep moving the same way, Paul. Yes, you've been religious and you've been a zealot and you've been very zealous about the things that you've been doing, possibly the wrong way. But I can use that energy, Paul. But this is what I'm going to do, Saul at the time, Saul of Tarsus. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to change your name, because you need a new name. You need a new identity. Why do I have to give you a new name? Because anything that comes out of the womb again has a new name.
That's right.
It has a new name. So you're no longer Saul, because you're being born again, and now your name is going to be Paul. And I'm going to use you to establish and to start up and to bring the Gentiles and be one of the most renowned men of God that I've ever had, because I'm going to use you, Paul, in a major way. So what did Paul do? Paul had to unlearn everything that he thought he knew about who God really was up until that point. And then he realized, oh, we crucified the wrong person. We actually crucified the flesh of God. And you know what? I'm going to submit to Ananias for 3 years. And I'm going to learn and submit. And I'm going to learn new ways, new customs, new ways to move. Because this Jesus that we serve now is different from anything that I've ever experienced.
That's right.
And now, brethren, I commend you to God. I've already done my piece. Now I'm going to commend you to be born again. To the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. You're going to be a babe all over again. I'm going to put my spirit in you, and you're going to grow up all over again and start this process all over again. I have coveted nobody's silver nor gold. When I'm doing this, not for money. I don't win souls because I'm looking to get something or to obtain something from you. I do this because I love God. That's what Paul is telling them. Ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my own necessities. I'll get up and work for mine, and to them that were with me, I'll also give it to them. And I have showed you all things how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it's better for you to give than to receive. Father, let's pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, I just want to depart. I just want to impart the word yes. We say yes, Lord, to what you desire to do. And we say yes, Lord, to the callings that you call. All are called, but few are chosen. It's because some won't choose you. So I impart yes into their lives. I impart faith in the name of Jesus. I impart faith, that they have the faith to say yes. I impart obedience, Lord, so that they'll be obedient enough to say, Lord, I'll fix it, I'll do it, whatever it is. If that means finding something to do in the church, if that's cleaning the floors and coming in and sweeping before service, or aligning the chairs before service, or learning how to do music, or learning how to do sound, or singing in the choir, and learning how to play drums, or learning how to teach on a Wednesday night, I'm just going to say yes and stop fighting it. I'm going to say yes and stop looking for excuses to not do it. I'm just going to say yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, some of you, you might just need to rededicate yourself right now to the Lord. You see, at 12 years old, Jesus wasn't snotting up altars. He was teaching at them. See, some of you, you've been in church far too long to still be snotting up altars. You should know how to come to the altar, and the only tears that you have is because you know that God has spoken to you, and he's given you a promise that he's going to fix it, because God is... gonna do it. So these altars are open. You just want to come spend some time with Jesus. You might have been having a yes that's been on hold for too long. You might want to give it to him today. Because there's an ebb and a flow to your ministry. There's times where you're going to have to leave some things behind. And you're going to have to become the giver. In Jesus' name, these altars are open. Come spend some time with the Lord if necessary. In Jesus' name.